Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Hello, everybody.
All right. Well, if you missed our conversation about Halloween last week on episode 431, be sure to check that out. But today we want to talk about men's and women's ministry within a church planting context. All right. So our thoughts and ideas and advice all around that. So Tim Zuck submitted this question. So let's listen in.
Hey, guys, this is Tim Zuck, church planner at Forks Community Church, located in the Lehigh Valley, specifically Easton, Pennsylvania. And my question for you today is this: what advice would you give to a church planner who is considering starting a men's ministry and women's ministry? Lots of times church planners face pressure to start a multitude of programs at once. And so I'm just wondering if you would advise against that, or if you would encourage the church planner to begin those ministries as an avenue of discipleship. So looking forward to your response. Thank you.
All right. So I'm assuming that Tim's asking that question because he has been asked by individuals in his church plant to start a men's and a woman's ministry. And sometimes when churches are planted, you have well-meaning followers of Christ who have joined the launch team and left their more established church with traditional men's and women's ministries and have joined the church plant because they want to see the gospel proclaimed in that new community and that new expression. But with that, they're bringing their older constructs around ministry into that new context. So that's, you know, that's probably what's happening here. So my advice, just to get us kicked off, would really just be to respond back to them, Tim, respond back and ask them their experience in men's and women's ministry. And even before you ask that, ask them, hey, what do you think is the most, is the best thing about discipleship? When were you most discipled? When did that discipleship process, what did that look like for you? When were you most encouraged? Do you grow deepest? What is your experience in discipleship? And then go on to the men's and women's ministry. Because a lot of times they're actually going to be just wanting to replicate what happened in the past. And honestly, within a church plant context, you won't be able to replicate what's happened in the past. Especially if it's a larger, multiple hundred church, you're not going to get hundreds of people in the men's ministry. You might do a men's breakfast and only have 10 people there. And that's going to feel very different than 100. So getting to the root of what they're asking is first and foremost what I would encourage you to do. What do you think, Ed?
Okay, so fair question and an important one. My recommendation, again, you always gotta be careful, we don't know all the details, but my overwhelmingly common answer to this question is delay starting men's and women's ministry. I think that because you get this pressure early on and you get a diffusion of your important energy at this point, what I would say is tell people you want to do it. You're for doing it, but you need to build some other things to get them strong, and then you will do it right. And it kind of comes back to, and I use this example, we might have used it in the book, Daniel, but where, you know, people, like I say, you don't start a student ministry day one. Now there might be exceptions, but what I see when a church plant is you have a worship service, you have small groups, you have children's ministry. That's what you have, and that's it. And then we got to ask, what do we add next? Now, I would wait as long as possible. Can you make that children's ministry strong, that small group ministry strong, and then say, okay, now we're going to start a student ministry. And you do that well, and then you say, and eventually we're going to start a men's and women's ministry, and we're going to do that well. But by putting it off, by delaying it, to say we've got to get to the place where it's correct, where it's strong, it's a bit like the contractor I asked once why he... when he was doing this house, he kind of took one room and he really made sure it was well done. And then having been completed, they went on to the next one. Now, obviously, there's a strength of just tearing it all out and starting over. But in this case, it enabled people to see just how good that one room looked, and he had really hope for the next one. And so that's kind of what I would say is do things that go well. Do things that get done properly, and then the end result is you can do the next one. You can do the next one. And to do that, men's and women's ministry, those are products of large churches. I mean, not even large churches, but older churches. And sometimes, sometimes there were even then they were difficult. Here's the deal. If I got a limited amount of energy with a limited amount of people, I don't want them all showing up for the pancake breakfast with the men on Saturday. I want them in small groups where they're going to be encouraging one another, learning more about their own spiritual gifts and more. Men's groups and women's groups tend not to do that. Keeping in mind that I'm for both of those things just at the right time.
Yeah, one of the chapters in No Silver Bullets, my previous book, is from form...
Five silver bullets.
From form to function, right? So the biggest thing here, Tim, is to get to the root of why they're asking what they're asking for. And ultimately, it should be community, right? I mean, that is the purpose of the men's and women's ministry, that there's community, and a byproduct of that is there are opportunities for people to serve and exercise their giftings for leadership. And that's the byproduct of that. But really, the purpose of a men's and women's ministry is to get people in community. And that's why you need to dig down into why they're asking. Because if you don't really know them, they might actually be asking it because they want leadership influence. They want that in your church plant. And they think, okay, one of the best ways to do this is by gathering this, starting this ministry, and then I can be like this. So that you don't want that, right? You don't want that. You really want to get to the root and see if there is that desire for community and if they have that heart to invite other people into community. And let's say that's true, right? And their motive is right. And like Ed said, you know, you're building up small groups and you're continuing to go and there's opportunities for you to do this. Then I would encourage you to say, okay, if you want to start this, we're not going to start it right away, but I want you to start a small group where you're starting a men's small group or you're starting a women's small group. And I want you to lead that and to cultivate that and to grow that so that that small group becomes your leadership team for the men's ministry and women's ministry. So what you're now doing is instead of saying, yeah, sure, you can do it. And then they're like, oh, but I don't have any volunteers. Can you announce on Sunday that, you know, that we need volunteers? And you do that. And now all your announcements and what you're communicating is all split up. It's like, oh, people are now hearing 5 messages instead of 1 or 2 messages. You are empowering them and you are seeing, do they have the ability to recruit, to develop leaders, not only to lead themselves, but to lead others and to lead a team? And if they have that, their heart's in the right place, and you now see them being able to recruit, in a sense, it really is like a launch team, and they're able to do that and then gather momentum. And then I would say, okay, let's start with a breakfast, or let's start with a serve opportunity, or let's start with this, and then you're able to continually create opportunities to minister into your community and to one another.
So you're kind of trying to say yes without saying fully yes, in a sense.
Yeah, because you don't know, right? I mean, someone may have the heart, the heart's in the right place, but they might be a horrible leader, right? And then you're actually giving them the opportunity to see for themselves, can they do this? Can they lead this? Because a healthy men's and women's ministry is never led by one person. There's always a team that has that co-ownership that's going to bring that forward.
Yeah, I think I'm still a little more hesitant than you.
Okay.
I think, and this happens sometimes. We just have a little bit different view.
Yeah.
I just think I think if I got 90% participation in small groups and the children's ministry is staffed and rocking and rolling, then maybe I'd say, okay, we'll start doing men's and women's ministry. I want to say to them, there's no more important ministry in the church than small groups. There's no more important ministry in the church than children's ministry. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they should be the focus until we have excess capacity to do other things. So that's where I'm hesitant. And my excess capacity to do other things first would be student ministry probably. And then I'd eventually get to men's and women's ministry. It seems to me, I'm sitting at a college, right? It seems to me that there's a difference between core courses and electives. So everyone's got to take the core courses. You get to do the electives if you want. I think men's and women ministry is more of elective that you can do it when the time comes. Not saying it's unimportant, saying it can be very central to many churches, but it doesn't need a separate structure, separate time. Men can get together and pray. If they want to have a men's gathering, they can do those things, but core and electives to me are key.
I really like the way you put that, core and electives. That's a great way to think about that. And even in planting missional churches, when we talk about all the different systems that need to be started for a new church or for a campus, I mean, there you go, right? I mean, those are those core systems, children's ministry, groups, worship service, right? And depending on your tradition and depending on where you're launching and how you're launching, that can look a little different. But yeah, I do agree that men's and women's ministry is an elective. And that's why I was thinking, you know, even if someone were to come and say, hey, I do want to start this, by asking them to start a group, so it's within that same construct, that system of small groups, and to actually see them build that and develop that, I mean, that's going to take time. I mean, even for the best of leaders, it's going to take time for them to do that. So I was just thinking it's a way to say yes and to delay it. But I guess what I'm hearing you saying is not even to do that, but to delay it until there's that right time and then start that process?
Yeah, I think so. I would say to delay it until such time as you can do it right. But I mean, I totally get what you're saying. And I wouldn't be, what you said as your kind of version of how to do this, I could be supportive of. Mm-hmm. What I would say is just be careful. People in your church don't generally have an understanding of, it's just not normal people understanding of what organizational energy looks like and how much it takes to get people in small groups and doing children's ministry. Yeah, you're trying to do the worship with a small group, you're setting up chairs and all that sort of stuff. So that would be my concern.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in. Hey, if you haven't left a question for our podcast, we would love that. You don't need to be a Plus member to do that. You don't need to even have read blogs or anything on the New Churches podcast to do on the New Churches site to do that. All you really have to do is go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. Speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your computer, go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, submit that question in on church planning, on multi-site, on multiplication, leadership development, discipleship, whatever that looks like, any way that we can help you and your church multiply and to reach the lost in your community, be sure to send those types of questions in. We'd love to answer that. And lastly, be sure to also check out the One Thing podcast. Our friends Scott Sanders and Derek Hanna have recently talked about topics like handing off ministries, knowing when to say goodbye, and growth barriers, all from an Australian context, not only for the church in Australia, but beyond that as well. So be sure to look up the One Thing podcast and subscribe today. Every church must be equipped to respond well in the initial stages of learning about instances of sexual, physical, or emotional abuse. That's why the Southern Baptist Convention, Lifeway, and the ERLC partnered together to create Becoming a Church That Cares Well for the Abused. This training curriculum of a handbook and 13 videos brings together top experts from various fields to help volunteers and leaders understand and implement the best practices for handling the variety of abuse scenarios at a church, school, or ministry. You can access this free training at churchcares.com. Once again, that's churchcares.com.